Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
In the last few minutes, James McLean has announced that the November friendly against New Zealand will be his final appearance for the Republic of Ireland. The 34-year-old Derryman won his 100th cap in the 3-0 win over Gibraltar at the Aviva last June. He's issued a fairly lengthy statement on social media this morning. I'll just bring you some of it. It has meant the absolute world and more to be able to pull on the green jersey with honour, step out onto a football pitch, especially at the Aviva Stadium, to represent our great country, standing, singing our Ron Nevean, ready to go out into battle with your fellow countrymen. Nothing has ever come close. I gave absolutely everything I had to myself to ensure I did the jersey, the fans and the country proud. And I know that I never took it for granted each time, and I hope that showed. And he says plenty more too, saying it will be heartbreaking not to be involved, but I feel now is the right time to step aside without any regrets. That's James McLean announcing that he will be leaving the international soccer scene. We might come back to that later in the programme. Now though, more sport, because Ireland and the UK look almost certain to jointly host Euro 2028. It'll be confirmed next week. But attention has turned as to whether some games could be played at the West Belfast GAA ground, Casement Park. That venue has been dormant since 2013. Planned redevelopment costs have more than doubled from 77 million to 160 million. And the British and Irish governments are both promising funding. Sinn Féin's Michelle O'Neill called the Euros the opportunity of a lifetime, but the DUP have said that they will oppose any plans to allocate additional resources to meet the GAA's shortfall in Casement Park at a time when hospitals and schools need additional resources. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by the editor of the Belfast newsletter, Ben Lowry, and also Professor of Social Policy at the University of Ulster, Deirdre Heenan. And thank you both for joining us. Ben, to you first. This major soccer tournament is coming. Two governments offering to fund a big local infrastructure project. So will you explain to us why there's opposition?
Well, the opposition is related to essentially two things. One, the fact that the costs have ballooned. I mean, as you said there, they've more than doubled. Now, I think anybody would be realistic that in the 10-year delay, it would mean that costs have increased. But to have doubled is a very different matter. The second thing to which there is opposition, and by the way, the DUP said it opposed a blank cheque being given to this with public funds. That's what it said to us today in our newspaper. So the DUP was not taking the TUV line of opposing any extra funding at all. But the what isn't clear in this, and we're trying to find out more about this today, we're asking the Northern Ireland office, the Secretary of State, Chris Eaton Harris, whether, as was the implication from what he said, that the GAA contribution won't have to rise at all. Now, if the GAA contribution won't have to rise at all, then there's a number of questions that arise from that. The first is, it isn't, as it happens, we need to be realistic about this. In the same way that the Orange Order isn't seen as a cross-community institution, the GAA is not seen as a cross-community institution. It's seen as deeply imbued in a Republican culture, that it doesn't in any way spurn. It's entitled to be that, as well as a sporting organisation. But that is that. That's the first thing. The second thing is,
so you're saying that the GAA is as segregated as the Orange Order. That's your contention.
I think the GAA is deeply segregated. Yes, deeply segregated. There's nothing integrated about the GAA, and there's no effort or no attempt for it to be. It is deeply, deeply associated with one side of the community.
So Casement Park, if it were to be redeveloped, I just want to be really clear. What you're saying here is if Casement Park was to be redeveloped with public funds, that would be for only one part of the community in Northern Ireland.
Well, yes, I mean, that's clear, because what actually happened, as it happens, I supported the idea more than a decade ago of a single stadium in Northern Ireland for rugby, football and GAA. That isn't what happened. We went down the route of upgrading three stadiums, and yes, the GAA is associated with one side of the community in Northern Ireland. I mean, that's not controversial.
But Euro 2028, though,
it might not be. It might. There might be some people somewhere. We always hear about this from a Protestant background who play GAA. But yes, it's very associated with one side of the community.
Okay, but
what I was going to say is this is the really important point. They're not going to have to, seemingly, we're trying to clarify this, increase their contribution at all, at a time of severe financial crisis. Now, there's a financial crisis at Stormont partly because Stormont, when it was up and running, was very weak when it came to taking difficult decisions, very weak when it came to trying to get reforms, efficiencies in health, trying to improve public sector services. All Stormont ever did, and this is, by the way, not, this is a cross-community criticism I would make of unionists and nationalists and neithers. All Stormont was good at doing was spending money. But are we now in a situation that the GAA isn't going to have to pay for it at all?
Well, the GAA had pledged to contribute £15 million, as I understand, and they haven't...
And it's made, I understand it's made clear it's not increasing its contribution. And okay, if that was the case, that would be a very serious gamble.
But let's look at the event that this would be aimed at. Euro 2028, an international celebration of soccer, which could only be good news for Northern Ireland.
The idea of Euro 2028 being played in Northern Ireland is wonderful and is widely supported. We have ended up in a situation where the main soccer football stadium, Windsor Park, is not big enough to host it. It's a strange state of affairs. So certainly I don't think many people are saying, and I'm not saying, that it isn't good at all. But it is very strange that an organisation like the GAA will be hosting these main games. And it's particularly strange when costs have ballooned. I mean, they haven't just gone up a fair amount. They've ballooned. The figure that you're citing there, which is one of the figures that it's citing, is more than double in less than a decade.
So where should, should the game go?
Well, I mean, the game is going to have to go to the upgraded Casement Stadium. I think that we've now reached a point of no return on that. I think it's, you know, it goes back to a number of things. As I was saying, my own preferred solution and the solution of quite a lot of people and people, some people in various sporting organisations was for a single stadium. But we haven't gone down that route. And it's now going to have to be, it seems, the GAA Casement Stadium. But there has to be some sort of recognition that the costs have ballooned and that that is a that that's a factor for the GAA as well.
Deirdre Heenan, to bring you in here, you understand concerns about a blank cheque being issued for any project, but in particular for this one, which it seems from what we've heard this morning and what we read from the DUP is very politically contentious.
Well, I think it's extraordinary that I'm on your programme this morning with a good news story, which is quite unusual. And what we are doing is prevaricating around the cost, the spiralling cost. Yes, the costs have spiralled. Yes, they'll have to be brought under control. But this is a good news story. This is one of the most prestigious football tournaments in the world. And some of these games are going to be played in Belfast. This is an opportunity to address Casement Park and get this off the table, I think, for once and for all. The stadium needs to be built. This will give the momentum. People will get behind it and support it. And it's churlish to say, oh, well, what about the cost? You know, if we said that and put it in the context of hospitals, we wouldn't have any sporting stadiums. We wouldn't have any arts venues. I accept that the costs have doubled. But also remember, Chris Heaton-Harris said that if we won this bid, Casement Park would be built. So rather than being churlish, I think we should look at this as an opportunity. It will be an opportunity for cross-community events. Think of the optics. 30 years after the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, you have an international football tournament being played in a GAA statement in Belfast. I mean, it's almost as if the worlds are aligning to show that we have moved on, that we have grown up, and that we are capable of cross-community sporting and international events.
And what do you think about what Ben said in relation to the GAA and who plays it?
Well, I actually don't agree, and I think maybe Ben needs to get out of Belfast more, because I live in a rural area, and my GAA club in Anaclone, for example, has a Young at Heart programme, which is cross-community for all older people in the community. It also has a bowling league, which is cross-community. It encourages cross-community. It has many migrants now involved in GAA. So perhaps his view of GAA is somewhat outdated, and we know that there's now a GAA club in East Belfast. Yes, of course, the majority of people from the GAA community have a background in the nationalist community. But does that mean it can't change? Surely we want to move on, progress, say this sport is open to everyone. And also remember, sport is also around health. Think about the mental health benefits of playing sport. Think about the wider benefits of being involved in your community, being part of a grassroots community organisation. So I really think we should look at the reaction of the IFA, Ulster Rugby. They have supported this bid. They have welcomed this bid. They welcome collaboration across sports, and they're encouraging this opportunity. And I think our politicians could learn from their response as to how we should view this in terms of moving forward, an opportunity. And yes, Ben is right. At a time, there was a conversation about one sports stadium. That ship has sailed, so there's no point in harking back to it. Let's embrace the future and embrace this opportunity and the benefits that it would undoubtedly bring.
But Deirdre, when Euro 2028 is a memory and it has passed, who ultimately benefits? It's the GAA. And surely Ben has a point that the GAA should be prepared to put more money into this.
Well, ultimately, I think communities benefit. Any community benefits from a world-class stadium. That community will benefit from the wider prestige of having that stadium, having the facilities, which, remember, are long promised. Now, the debate about who pays what, I think, is for another day. Yes, of course, the GAA should pay, but the Irish government have also said that they would be prepared to look at perhaps giving funding for the bid or supporting the bid in some way. And we have seen the Irish government through the Shared Island Initiative giving money to infrastructure projects in the north. So that is not a new development. I don't think we should get tied up in this. Really, what we should be saying, just as we said when we redeveloped Ulster Rugby, is this is a good news story. We are very short of good news stories.
Okay, well, that's,
and we should embrace it.
Let's put that point to Ben, that ultimately that's all it comes down to. It's a much needed good news story for Northern Ireland. Get behind it.
Well, that's the problem. It isn't all it comes down to. It is, of course, partly those things, but it isn't all that it comes down to at all. And it isn't what it comes down to for a number of reasons. To talk about Windsor Park and the Ulster Rugby, which, as I say and I emphasise, I think it was a bad idea to upgrade three stadiums. I think it was a reflection of an all things to all men mentality in Northern Ireland, which, as it happens, I'm very critical of, in the same way that we stupidly have three airports. We have Derry, City of Derry Airport, we have Belfast City, we have Belfast International. Northern Ireland clearly should have had one hub airport that could sort of begin to compete with Dublin. So we have something of a history. Dublin's a fantastic airport with a motorway coming in from the north, motorway coming in from the south. What a sensible way to run things. So this isn't a standalone example of stupidity, I would say. But if we are going to talk about the route that we went down, the Ulster Rugby costs did not spiral. The Windsor Park costs did not spiral. And I think Deirdre Heenan is right that Chris Heaton-Harris, and this is the thing that we're trying to nail down, has implied that it will be money no object. Mm-hmm. And think about what money no object means. We have a financial crisis in the Western world. We have massive indebtedness in countries, and the UK is not alone in this. It's a very wealthy country. We have a serious situation in Ukraine and whether or not there's funding to support the Ukrainians. We have public services.
Very briefly, because I have to leave this.
And then think about this, that we turn around when it comes to GAA encasement and say, oh, this is all wonderful. It's cross-community organisation. It's not. It's just not.
Let Deirdre in very quickly, and then we've got to go.
Look, we could argue for the rest of the morning about previous infrastructure projects. We are sitting here in the north, and we don't yet have a motorway to connect our two main cities. I think that's more important than any of the projects you refer to. And remember this. It is a political decision. In the end, if the politicians, particularly the British government, decide they want this to go ahead, the money will be found, just as it was found for Test and Trace, just as it was found for COVID grants.
Got to leave that one there. Professor Deirdre Heenan and Ben Lowry, thank you both very much for joining us. We'll be back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.